Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we're seeing stories across the country of schools reopening and like the one in Georgia quickly closing. And as the coming weeks pass and more schools open up and more school districts decide how they're going to deal with, are they going to have classroom activities? Are they not? For me, the answer lies in the people who are in the front of the classrooms, whether it's going to be physically in that classroom or, well, on the other end of the computer line that my kids see. And the reality is if it weren't for the teachers, those people who my kids adore, I don't know that they would have gotten through the last bit of insanity, which is why I think it's so important to give teachers the credit that they deserve and stop with the attacks, which is why I've asked Christine Vaccaro to come talk with us. She's a New York teacher, also a contributor over at the Badass Teacher Association website. She's got a new piece out, Why Rebranding Teachers Will Save Lives. Christine, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. So nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what do you mean rebranding? I get the whole, teachers are the saviors, are going to make our kids wonderful, or they're lazy slackers who are just collecting a paycheck. So what are we rebranding to?
Well, I think the issue is that this idea of savior has become so entrenched that teachers themselves have kind of bought into that hype. And so we have teachers who, even in this moment where their lives, their families' lives, their communities' lives depend on keeping the schools closed, really, in order to stay safe as possible, they're not able to stand up and say, we can't do this. There's teachers lining up to go back into buildings, buy their own PPE, not willing to sort of say, no, we're not going to do this, and not enough of us anyway. So that brand has actually been very problematic in terms of being able to get people to stand up. The other reason it's problematic is that the public, it enables the public to kind of make us the boogeymen in all this. And as you mentioned, and as I've seen for the whole entire summer, the normal kind of anger or frustration that people level at teachers has intensified to such a degree that it's insane. I saw yesterday a radio station in Rochester had like a poll up on Facebook. Teachers who don't want to buy their own supplies, justified or jerked. It's like we at this point in time are so expected to use our own money to do all these things, to sacrifice ourselves, that it's actually it's laughable at this point.
Yeah, I mean the jerk is whoever came up with that poll.
And I made that known on their website.
Yeah, I mean, there's someone whoever typed those words needs to get smacked. Let's have that poll. How many people think that the person who wrote that should get smacked?
Totally.
When I was in school, I know they don't do corporal punishment anymore, but we had a principal who had a baseball bat paddle. I'd break him out and his paddle on whoever wrote that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
But here's the thing. I mean, the sad reality is teachers have taken a brunt of a lot of the problems in society that they have no control over. The last bit, because I've heard people complain, well, the teachers didn't do enough or this or that. Hey, I need to get the kids back to school because, the teachers are just babysitters, which, all unfair.
Absolutely. I mean, the babysitter argument is, I think, really the most offensive one. In terms of a couple of things, I'm not unsympathetic to the fact that schools do serve as de facto childcare because of the fact that our economy creates that need. We don't give enough living wages. Parents need to work two jobs. So we don't have the societal structures in place to say, okay, we have these other childcare options. So it's problematic on a larger scale, but for teachers in most states who require a graduate degree, most states, in order to get full certification, we're educated professionals. And again, that idea of what we do is sort of serving this service purpose, this customer service purpose, as opposed to being a integral liver in society. I mean, without educating your public, what are you doing?
Right.
And that disrespect is just, is so intertwined in our narrative that we get to this point.
Yeah, it's amazing. And whenever I have someone tell me stuff like that, I go, you know, we entrust our most precious resource, the future of our country and our children, to people who you're calling lazy slackers who are nothing but babysitters. If that were the case, wouldn't you want to rethink something about that? You know, maybe something. And well, my teachers are good. I love my teacher. It's all those other teachers that are bad.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's interesting with education too. Education is pretty unique in the fact that everybody really feels entitled to have an opinion on it because they're either a parent or they managed to get through 12 years of the public school system. But he really feels like they can weigh in, yet very few people actually understand what we do on a day-to-day level and how challenging it is. I mean, most of us do it because we love it. It's our passion. It's our vocation. We wouldn't want to do anything else. But there is nothing. And I've had the benefit of working other careers before teaching. So I can tell you that there is no other job that I've done or have ever heard from anybody else that requires the different parts of your soul and brain and everything else to be able to do it well. So it's especially frustrating when people who don't actually know or couldn't actually survive 5 minutes in a classroom making commentary about what we do.
Yeah, see, I fully understand. I am that person. I could not. I got three kids. I can barely control them, let alone 30 or 40 or, you know, some of them in Detroit, 50. I don't know how teachers do it, but I'm glad that you do. And I give you guys the utmost credit because you deserve it. And when I hear things like, you know, should you have to buy your own supplies? That's one of those things. Just plain insane.
It's infuriating. And the thing is that there's so many of us and out of nothing other than just pure good intentions who are going to be doing just that to help with this situation. We're not going to actually be supplied the PPE we need. Some schools aren't even mandating it, yet you're going to have teachers who are going to be lining up and you know, taking shower curtains and, you know, buying their own filters for their classrooms and masks for their kids. I have a friend who was trying to order face shields for her class of first graders. You know, it's insane. And the fact that we do this is because we do it because we care. But the fact that we do it enables us to continually be this object of derision and, you know, just punching bags.
Really. Yeah, ultimately, you're at the bottom of the hill. And you know what they say about being at the bottom of the hill? All of that stuff rolls downhill.
Yep.
And you're the guys, you're the folks who catch it. And, you know, this is maybe one of those moments. And I'll tell you, I was so happy to hear Randy Weingarten say that, you know, all options are on the table this fall, and that they're potentially, you know, you could see teachers striking over safety, which I think is something that has to happen.
I agree with you 100%. I am hopeful that we see some more urgency from our unions. At this point, they really need to be stronger, particularly in New York. In New York City, we are in some unique conditions. Our numbers are obviously much more contained and much more decreased than other parts of this country. But New York City has a number of unique factors to warrant us being closed. And first and foremost is just the population we have, the fact that we have such a large population, we're the largest school district in the country. We have a large population of children of color whom we know are much more likely to get sick, spread the virus, be hospitalized. We have most of our kids taking public transportation to and from school. We're surrounded by three international airports. You know, there's a lot of issues there that make us need to close. And we have not had, to this point, strong enough union leadership to support that.
And the cautionary tale, I mean, I'm watching this story coming out of Georgia of this Cherokee County School District that, you know, they were hell-bent on opening. And we all saw the pictures of, you know, kids packed into these hallways without any protection equipment and without any masks or certainly not social distancing. And you go, you know, this is a very large school district, but it's, you know, in Georgia. This isn't New York City. And you know, I can't imagine what a school, you know, the size of a lot in New York, how they would handle the distancing requirements, because you're talking about smaller buildings, older buildings, antiquated, you know, ventilation systems. There's just a whole lot of stuff that goes into, you know, this that I don't know that anyone's prepared for.
You're not the only one who can't imagine it. Our own New York City leadership can't imagine it either. We don't still have a really clear plan of what it's going to look like in another 4 weeks. You bring up the HVAC systems and the ventilation. That's a huge issue, particularly, again, in New York City, where buildings are decades and decades old. And we're in a huge budget crisis, just like a lot of other places. So the idea of actually being able to mitigate these systems, number one, effectively, number two, in time, is a fantasy. Not going to happen. And you have, you know, the actual number of kids and all of that. I don't see how it works out mathematically, and I don't see how people are actually going to be protected. Even if you did have a classroom where kids were managing to be 6 feet apart and, you know, a certain number of people per square feet, you're still in the halls, you're still sharing facilities, bathrooms, hallways. I don't know how dismissal gets done in a way that would be socially distanced for schools across the city. There's just far too many unknowns, not enough plans, and certainly not enough leadership that teachers feel confident in.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's, you know, it had been thrown at me the idea of, you know, we do the whole online thing, and basically we just have this as a pause semester, a pause year even, and then we start over next year. Because weirdly enough, the state of Pennsylvania, there's some legislation evidently going through that will give parents, and if it passes, I don't know yet, but it'll give parents the option to hold their kids back a year. Now, their stated reason is, well, you know, if you had a kid who played sports and they're going to miss their senior year of high school football or whatever. So that was the angle. But I'm going, you know what? To be honest, I don't think the kids got everything they should have gotten last year. And I don't know that they're going to get what they need this year. Maybe a pause year isn't bad.
I think you're right. And I think also the idea that going remote, I think actually would have been the best thing to do from the beginning. And sort of being able to shore that process up and that procedure up and be able to say, okay, let's put our time and resources into making, this isn't going to be a year that we're going to get really far. We have to sort of accept the fact that we're in a pandemic. Things are not normal. And let's take a pause on everything and take the remote practice and make it so that it is better equipped to deal with have students better prepared for it. So in other words, take your time and resources, put it into making sure every kid has the tech, making sure every kid has the Wi-Fi, making sure teachers have been adequately prepared to be able to launch better classroom platforms and everything else and have us get some training in it. But the schools didn't want to make that call early enough to make that a viable option. And now you're going to have schools that did all this time and money to make these crazy hybrid ideas pivoting back to remote, and we're going to be no better prepared for it than we would have, than we were back in spring when we were, you know, building the airplane in the air, as the cliche kept being repeated over and over.
No, you're right. And this is exactly the conversation my wife and I have been having, you know, over our kids in the school, our school district, because they're going to a hybrid plan, you know, go 2 days. And then you do, I guess, to do the rest of the work at home, and the other half of the class goes the other 2 days and back and forth. And I'm going, you know, they should have just planned, you know, just do everything remotely for the first couple of months and then have like a kind of a reopening. Because, you know, we know in a couple, this thing in Georgia is a perfect example of, you know,
correct.
It's just going to, it starts with one or two, and before you know it, now you're 1,100 people being quarantined, and just, it's just craziness. But I want to get back to your article for a second, because you say that, you know, rebranding is going to, the rebranding of teachers is going to save lives, because you point out that, you know, they're being either, in one hand, being viewed as saviors or, you know, those horrible slacker teachers. What's the rebrand? I mean, what do you want, how should teachers be viewed? What do teachers want to be viewed as?
Well, and I think it's actually a sort of a two-part plan in my head. Part one would be reframing the idea that caring for your students and being that dedicated professional means sacrificing yourself. At this moment, it would be really prudent to rebrand that into advocating for keeping our students safe, keeping our schools closed, keeping ourselves safe, keeping our families safe. So that's sort of the rebrand that I'm advocating for in the piece. What can you do as a teacher? Maybe you're not going to get up and protest. Who can you write to? Who can you talk to? What person in your community can you begin to convince that this is not a good idea? Because, again, teachers' voices, we're the last people asked, and that's why I so appreciate that you give teachers such a voice on this show, but we're the last people asked to do our opinion or our expertise. We're the ones who know how implausible it is to actually be in school safely. So that would be number one, how sort of rebranding how we look at our dedication. No, it doesn't mean go out and buy your own PPE. It means get on Facebook and start posting stuff. It means write to your governor. It means talk to your superintendent, whatever it is. And then kind of once this sort of dust settles on all of this crisis that we're in, I would love to see teachers begin to sort of, first of all, one huge piece is the standardized test piece that if we can kind of get, we got away from it last year. Nobody died, right? Like, we don't need that driving the education system.
Right.
So if we remove that from the picture, then we have a whole different ballgame. We're going to be in a new world as it is. And if we can sort of reframe education without that piece, then we can say, okay, so how can we leverage the what teachers can offer? And I think then you're looking at a idea of, okay, we have these educated professionals. We're one of the only few professions that requires a graduate degree. So number one, we're educated professionals. Number two, we have these two twin pillars that we now have the opportunity to embed into schools, social-emotional learning and social justice. And if we take those two pillars and kind of build around those, now we have a wraparound holistic educational system that is going to kind of serve the needs that we need for the future. We don't need kids to remember facts and figures anymore. They carry every recorded word in human history in their pockets.
Right.
So they need to know how to be able to relate to people. They need to know how to critically think. They need to know how to creatively think, solve problems. They need curriculum that's more culturally responsive and more inclusive. And I think that that would be kind of like down the line, 10 steps ahead, how I would like to see education and teachers rebranded.
Yeah, or as I've said, you know, reclaim your profession and make it the profession that it is, of professionals who are doing their work instead of just, you know, assembly line factory workers who are teaching to the test. I agree with you. Again, the piece, Why Rebranding Teachers Will Save Lives, written by Christine Vaccaro. We'll get links out on our social media, how you can take a look at it. Christine, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Thanks so much.
You too, Rick. Thank you so much. And by the way, I know the last time we spoke, your daughter was interested in being a teacher. Do you still feel that way after all this?
Yeah, I'm still trying to talk her out of it. No, I would be thrilled if she were. But then,
yeah, we need some tough kids in there. That'd be good.
she's still, for all of its faults. But Christine, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. Take care.
Bye-bye. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.